Thank you, Steve. Great job. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
Wendy, Sam Rowe is here, Chicago Tribune investigative reporter, and he's here for a strange, strange reason. I was watching one of my favorite television shows the other night, Last Week Tonight on HBO. That's the John Oliver show, where he talks kind of a little bit about everything, whatever's happening in the world that week, and more esoteric things. Oh, I love his show. I love his show. But then all of a sudden, a name and a face that I recognize, the Tribune's own Sam Rowe, shows up on the show. I got very, very excited. The story was a bizarre story. We'll get into all the details. But Sam, thank you for being here. Really appreciate it. So happy you're here. All right, first of all, before we go into the details of why you were on Last Week Tonight on Sunday, you knew that was coming, right? That wasn't a surprise, was it?
No, they had called me that weekend to do some fact-checking, which is sort of interesting because when we do fact-checking in journalism, we're pretty specific about what we say. And they're like, well, we're roughly going to say this. We're roughly going to say that, you know, because I knew there was going to be a lot of comedy.
Go a little closer to the microphone.
We were excited. I mean, my teenage boys thought it was great.
Oh, you were the coolest in their eyes.
Tell me, that's hard to accomplish. So, yeah, I knew it was coming. So,
was the response what you thought it would be once you showed up on the episode? Was it? I mean, people.
Yeah, hear back from high school friends like, "I saw you on TV. You know, that's great." So.
All right, let's talk about the story that got you on Last Week Tonight. Now, this is a story that happened years ago, right? But it's kind of resurfaced because of a term called astroturfing, which is a relatively new term.
Relatively new term, but this kind of tactic's been going on for decades, and I've been writing about it periodically for decades. And what it is astroturfing is fake groups, fake consumer groups, fake grassroots groups that purport to be sort of organically grown by citizens and maybe teachers and educators getting together to fight a cause. But in reality, what they are bogus groups created by industry, by big business, to promote a particular product or an agenda by an industry group to more or less try to get laws either passed or rescinded.
Right.
This is fake news at its finest.
Yeah, it is, and it's very sophisticated. And it's hard to tell if it's growing and there's more out there, but I can tell you it is more sophisticated. It's hard to sort of entangle some of these groups.
The example that they used on Last Week Tonight, and I think this is a great one here in Chicago because it ran all the time, was a year or so ago when they were trying to enact a tax on sugary drinks, on soft drinks. There was an ad that ran constantly with a woman talking about how it's not fair to us, to citizens, for the government to come in and swoop down and put this tax on us.
We can make our own decisions.
We can make our own decisions. Yeah.
That was on all the time.
Constantly. And then we find out that it was paid for by the soft drink company. It wasn't any kind of group.
If you think, though, it makes sense that they did it. I mean, I didn't know who was behind it, but I was like, they're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes I don't think it's as detrimental as other times.
Right.
Or is it?
Right.
Almost expect it now.
Yeah.
When there's an issue that's controversial. You almost expect, where's the AstroTurf group? Oh, there it is.
You see
a commercial or you see something. Yeah, that doesn't look real. That doesn't look like a real person. That looks like an actor.
I don't know what's real anymore anyway. I mean, it's really, I'm like Mulder. I trust no one.
Well, a lot of times you'll see an ad and it's written in very small font at the bottom that it's a paid actor. When, as you're watching the ad, you go, well, that's just a guy who feels strongly about something. But if you look very, very closely.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes not.
Yeah. Sometimes
right?
not. Let's talk about the doctor that was featured prominently who told some lies, basically.
Mm-hmm. His name was Dr. David Heimbach. And he actually was a very prominent burn surgeon and a surgery professor at the University of Washington. He was no slouch. Actually got an award from the Dalai Lama. But he was also the star witness for the chemical company, and he was going around to different states advocating that there should be more chemical flame retardants put in couches and chairs to prevent fires and deaths, which would be great if those flame retardants actually worked. I mean, who wants to burn up in a fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the research showed that these flame retardants weren't working. And worse, the flame retardants were migrating out of the couches and dust and eventually getting in children's mouth and their bloodstream. And research shows that American toddlers, this is sort of remarkable, American toddlers have the highest concentration of flame retardant chemicals in their bloodstream among any infant in the world. I mean, that to me is really amazing. And the reason is because we have so much flame retardants in our couches and chairs. So environmentalists and scientists were really worried about the growing flame retardants in couches. They wanted them removed. The flame retardant industry didn't want that, of course. They want more flame retardants. And so they hired Dr. Heimbach, a burn surgeon, to go in there and make the case, listen, we need flame retardants because they save lives. And so he ended up telling some really gripping tales in front of lawmakers about children that he treated that burned to death because of the lack of flame retardants. And we knew about this testimony, and we knew that he was very successful. Every time he gave testimony, he beat back the other arguments for the environmentalists. It made the other side seem petty.
Right.
Oh, we're worried about, you know, dust in the air and potential risk of cancer and things like that. When a doctor would walk in at the last minute and talk about a baby who died in a fire, he was the closer. He was the closer for the chemical industry. So my partner Trish Callahan, she flew out to California and went to one of these hearings, and he gave this testimony about this 7-week-old baby who died in this fire because of lack of flame retardants, and you could hear an audible gasp in the audience.
I can imagine.
When he told the story. And at the end, when the vote came down on the side of the chemical industry. And we got back to the office, and we talked about this testimony he gave about how, you know, mom had come in to check on the baby, put a candle in the baby's crib, the candle fell over, and the baby ended up dying. And we started thinking about it, and we thought, what mother puts a candle in a baby's crib?
Right.
I mean, it was compelling testimony.
Yeah.
It was heart-wrenching, but it seemed wacky. And so we thought, what else has he said? And so we went back and we looked at his other testimony, and it was very similar, but different. It wasn't a 7-week-old baby girl. It might have been a 9-week-old baby boy.
This all Sam in different states.
In different states.
To testify.
In different states, but same issue, same issue. And very similar, and maybe the mom put the candle in the bureau. In one case, the dog knocked the candle over.
Was this in the 20s before electricity?
Don't ask me. I mean, it was, but obviously, same thing. It was a red flag. What's going on? This doesn't seem, I mean, people aren't using candles. It just didn't make any sense. And so we started to get a sense that he might be making these cases up, which would be really remarkable for a prominent burn surgeon to be making up cases of essentially dead children.
In a court of law, too, right?
Well, in front of lawmakers,
right?
In front of lawmakers and arguing, you know, and this is public policy at stake. It affects the whole country. And so I called the King County Medical Examiner's Office, and I asked for all the records they had on children in that county where Dr. Heimbach had treated people of children that had died, and got this huge packet in the mail, big spreadsheet, went through it meticulously. There wasn't a single child that died in the last 16 years that matched any of his descriptions. And so then we were pretty confident that he was just making this up.
Yeah.
But it's tough to prove someone's making something up, because he could just say, I don't want to comment, or you know, I can't remember what
happened.
And he's
a well-respected doctor who is studied. I mean, you tend to believe
that. Exactly.
Them.
So I thought the best thing to do was just to call him at home. So I just called him out of the blue, just called him one night, explained who I was, what I was doing. And I said, listen, I got to tell you, I've got all these records from the coroner's office. I'm not seeing any of these cases that match up to what you've described. And he sort of tap-danced around a little bit, and he finally came out and said, well, my testimony wasn't meant to be factual. It was anecdotal. I go, but that's not how you presented it. When you went to all these committee hearings and testified before lawmakers, you were very specific. You were very precise. There was nothing anecdotal about that. And he said, well, I wasn't under oath.
Wow.
I wasn't under oath. And so that was his final response. And so we ended up running those stories, and it didn't turn out well for Dr. Heimbach. The state of Washington went after him because he didn't disclose the fact that he was a paid witness for the chemical industry.
A highly paid
witness for the chemical industry. He was supposed to report that he didn't, so he was facing disciplinary action in Washington, and so he ended up relinquishing his license.
He did.
His medical license, right.
Thankfully.
which is really a rare thing for a prominent surgeon to give up their medical license.
Sam, I believe that he was making hundreds of thousands of dollars for these testimonies.
He was, but he's also a burn surgeon. I'm sure it's what's always been a little confusing to me is I can't imagine he had any financial problems.
Right.
I mean, he was a burn surgeon. He probably made millions, but
it's nice. A nice extra wad of cash for them to go look for a couple hundred thousand. You fly in, you give your testimony, you fly out. That's an easy work day.
Maybe. Yeah. He could have made the same points without making idea that he made up, it was, to me...
But doesn't it make you wonder, you caught him, you got this guy, how many other guys are doing essentially the same thing every day?
That doctor who told Jenny McCarthy that vaccinations cause autism, that there's a link there, she believed it. Many kids were not vaccinated. Measles and mumps are back when they were pretty much eradicated, and then it turns out that he lied to her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened. It's going to happen again. It's really scary when you think about it.
Yeah, I think it happens in every industry. It's a tactic. It's a tactic that goes all the way back to Big Tobacco in the 50s. It's right out of their playbook of trying to mislead people. You come up with these really nice sounding names like Citizens for Fire Safety. I mean, who's against fire safety, right? But it's not that. They can't give themselves the real name. You know, chemical companies who want to sell more chemicals, they couldn't call themselves that. So, but you're right. There's a lot of these groups out there, but it's difficult to tell who's who.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of sleuthing to figure that out.
No question.
Thanks for protecting us.
Yeah.
We're looking towards you to protect us.
We need you, Sam.
Well,
yes, we do.
Thank you.
You're our Black Panther.
Thanks.
Sam Rowe is here. He's our Black Panther. He writes for the Chicago Tribune. More after this. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Sam Rowe, Chicago Tribune investigative reporter. A story he worked on years ago. Was just featured prominently on HBO's Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. The story was about astroturfing. You told us the story about Dr. Heinbach, who testified several times telling stories that were pretty much made up. But he did influence people with these made-up stories. He just passed away a year ago, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't mention that on Last Week Tonight. And part of that bothered me, but then I thought, it's probably not that pertinent to the story.
Probably
not. It should be mentioned, though, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Just to put some finality to it.
Can you do me a favor? You said something to Wendy and myself off-air that I think bears repeating on-air. When you work on these stories as an investigative reporter, they can take years, right?
Yeah. This story actually took 2 years to finish. And, there's a lot of reporting. There's a lot of editing. They're fact-checking, lawyering. It's a huge investment for the newspaper. You've really got to hand it to news organizations. There's not a lot like the Chicago Tribune that actually lets folks work 2 years on a story. I tell other people in the industry, and they go, what? I can barely get 2 days to work on a story. 2 years.
And not knowing what the outcome,
no,
that's
not,
what
yeah,
I wasn't thinking
I mean,
about.
We pick our stories carefully, and we want our stories to be fresh and surprising, but we also want to make an impact. You know, hopefully nationwide. And because of that story that we did, they changed the rules. And so now there's not all these flame retardants in couches and chairs that don't work. And flame retardants in your couches and chairs, they're not measured by parts per billion or parts per million. They're measured by ounces and pounds. A typical American couch has 2 pounds of flame retardants in it. I think people would be surprised by that. Flip over your couch, your chair when you get home, upholstered chair, and you'll see the tag.
Yeah.
So those flame retardants don't work, and yet they migrate, they get old, and dust comes out, and it gets in your bloodstream. It's not good for you. So we were happy that even though it took a long time to do that story, we felt it had a huge impact.
Yeah.
You must be so proud. I'm serious. And obviously you won awards for this study, this report.
And it was fun to do. I mean, it's challenging to do because there are a lot of groups out there like that. And it's just not maybe one doctor, right? It's not people who go rogue. They have a lot of support from lawyers and PR firms and big industries, and it's very sophisticated. There's a lot of money behind them, and so it's challenging to try to unravel that and expose if they're doing something wrong.
Sam, the first time I think I was aware of you, I'm a toy fanatic, and I remember you doing a report on safe and unsafe toys. This was years ago.
Yeah, 2008.
That long ago. I wasn't going to guess that long ago. But yeah, that was very helpful.
Yeah, it was a similar kind of story. I mean, if you look at big business and products, oftentimes you find that toys aren't as safe as they purport to be, and there's recalls, and there's stories behind recalls, and there's deaths that could have been prevented. And you know, the Tribune over the years actually has specialized in these kinds of public health and product safety issues.
Yeah.
I am going home to check my couch and chairs, and then I'm calling Walter E. Smith.
Well, I have to say, one thing you shouldn't do if you're a parent is let your kids jump up and down on the couch.
Yeah, but that's what they do.
That's what they do. But now you have a reason to tell them not to do that. Because
we've had our couch for 20 years. I have a 20-year-old kid. This has like been jumping dogs. I mean, this is shocking.
You need to go in the basement.
That's the only way.
Thank you so much, Sam.
What are you working on now?
Something top secret.
Oh.
But I'll come back on the show and talk about
whatever
it.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
Great to meet you.
Okay.
Sam Rowe from the Chicago. Yeah, keep
proud
up the great
thank
work.
You. Thank you for having me.
That's excellent. That's Sam Rowe from the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.